Thank you so much to our kids today for teaching us and leading us today. Unfortunately, it's all downhill from here after this point. But they showed us what Palm Sunday is all about. And today is, as you may have noticed, Palm Sunday, because the palms, as our kids told us today. It is a day when the crowds welcomed Jesus to Jerusalem and joined in the parade and waved their palm branches, shouting Hosanna. It was kind of an ancient celebrity entrance, right? With red carpet and paparazzi and hashtag Jesus is coming, spreading through the crowd. Except on this day, Jesus flipped the script completely, trading stallions for donkeys, armies for children, coercion for invitation, the way of the servant instead of the way of the emperor. That's what makes cool. Do we have a friend who's going with him? Awesome. Okay, cool. We're on it, everyone. If any of you start to wander off, we will also make sure you're finding your way too. Cool. It was the way of the servant instead of the way of the emperor. And that's what makes Palm Sunday so powerful and so important, especially for us in our world right now. But more on that in just a moment. The last few weeks, we've been journeying through our Lenten series called Rhythms. We've been exploring practices that help us live with God's deeper rhythm amidst the pulsing drumbeat of our daily lives. You know, that time in your life when calendars start to look like Tetris boards and our world is shouting more, faster, now. But Jesus invites us to move to a different, deeper rhythm. And today, in so many ways, embodies that. Palm Sunday reveals God's rhythm of peace amidst pressures and powers of this world. When everyone expected domination, Jesus embodied instead the spiritual practice of servanthood, modeling this countercultural cadence amidst our world's us-first beats, showing us what love looks like when it leads by serving. And oh, we need that rhythm right now in our world, don't we? The good news is that rhythm is still there for us, and that Jesus still invites us into this parade of the upside-down kingdom, where the last are first, the overlooked are seen, and the servant is the greatest of all. So what exactly happened on that first Palm Sunday, and why does this script-flipping parade still matter 2,000 years later? Well, a little context for us, so check this out. In the ancient world, powerful rulers had a ritualized way of entering into a city. It was a parade called a triumph. You can read all about it in the annals of Julius Caesar, you know, like you do. Kings would show up to a city with great fanfare and pageantry, reinforcing the power and the hierarchies of the kingdoms of this world. But Jesus on this day turned all of that on its head, as he always did. Richard Rohr puts it this way: Jesus' basic message is that the way up is down. The way to find your life is to lose it. The way to be first is to be last. And so on this day, Jesus shows us what that looks like. First, when he would show up for a triumph parade, the king would ride in on a mighty war stallion. But Jesus on this day called for a young donkey. Could you imagine the scene? This would be like going to the 4th of July parade and the mayor shows up, not in a convertible, but waving from the back of a Pinto to everyone there, which would be totally awesome, of course, but isn't the way that it happens in our world. But Jesus flips the script and shows us God's way comes, not in controlling, coercive, grand militaristic power, but in humility, riding on a donkey, low and slow, gentle and near, with us, not above us. Second, kings would enter into a city followed by the armies they commanded and those that they conquered in chains behind them. But Jesus was surrounded by a ragtag bunch of us, all genders and adults and children and all who would come, not being commanded or coerced, but freely joining as a community. They waved their coats and their palm branches and they laid them down, not in a fine carpet, but as a beautiful patchwork of real humanity and diverse community, a tapestry of whatever they had woven together. It wasn't a power trip. This was a peace march. No stallion, no army, no pretension, just Jesus himself, right there in the middle of it all, at the center of the parade, unarmed and vulnerable and with us. And friends, that's always how love shows up in our world. The religious leaders saw what was going on and they tried to shut it down. They said, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out," which is like a very Jesus thing to say. But what he meant in this moment was that this way of love, this rhythm of service is coming, and nothing can stop it. Love wins, and the deepest part of all of us cries out for it. But even amidst the joy and the pageantry of this moment, Jesus knew that the way ahead would not be easy. As the parade approached the city, the stories tell us that Jesus paused for a moment, and he looked at Jerusalem, and he wept, and he said, "If you, even you, had only recognized the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes," he said. And we get that. If only this world had recognized the things that make for peace, he says. Think of the way of Jesus, the way that Jesus' power makes for peace in our world. He came humble, not proud. He came ready to listen, not coerce. He came in community, not self-interest. He came empowering those around him, not commanding them. He came unafraid to do what is right. He came unarmed, in love, not seeking to defend himself, but to serve and love neighbors first. That's how God's power comes into our midst, offering itself on behalf of those around him. That's the way of the power in the kingdom of God, the one that Jesus was building, a kingdom not for himself, but for all people. As the public theologian Diana Butler Bass writes, Jesus's kingdom turns the established order of the world upside down, where the first become last and the last become first, where the poor are blessed and where love, not power, rules. That's the rhythm of service that Jesus invites us all to embrace. Earlier in the story, in Mark chapter 10, Jesus' disciples are jockeying for positions in this coming kingdom. And Jesus makes this clear, this vision before them. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." And he says, "It will not be so with you." He says, "They're not like us. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be servant of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." In a world driven by self-preservation, grasping for power, fear, and scarcity, Jesus invites us to a radically different and deeper rhythm of life, the way of the servant. The way of the servant isn't just about occasional random acts of kindness. That is a really good place to start. It's about a way of being, not just doing service, but being a servant. So what does the practice of that true posture of servanthood look like? Well, just doing acts of service means that you get to pick and choose when you act. But the way of the true servant simply responds to the needs before them wherever they are. Acts of service love to be seen, but true servanthood loves to be hidden. Acts of service like the big deal and the big check that you hand, but true servanthood delights in the small things. This kind of service goes beyond niceness. It is sacrificial, justice-seeking, and life-giving for all people, just like the love of God is. Before we go on continuing talking about this posture of servanthood, I think it's important to recognize and remember the way that this way of service has sometimes been twisted to further pressure people who are already in submissive positions and oppress the vulnerable in that way. And if you've experienced that from this message, I just want you to know that I'm sorry for that, because Jesus' way was about flipping power and privilege, not preserving it. The way of service is meant to be life-giving for all, us included. And if it isn't, then it's not Jesus' way. Servanthood is a choice that cannot be coerced or commanded, only freely chosen. And so for each one of us, depending where we are, the rhythm of service might look different for all of us. But wherever we are, the best place to begin are the places where no one but love is asking us to serve. Those are the places where we can flip the script. Rachel Hall Evans wrote of those places in her life. She wrote particularly of learning to serve people who were frustrating to her. You might be thinking of someone right now. Don't say it out loud, just in case they're sitting next to you. Instead, let love lead you to ask this question: how can I serve this person? And she writes, I don't always like the answer. Sometimes it involves checking my pride at the door. Sometimes it involves being inconvenienced or uncomfortable. But it always involves becoming a little more like Jesus by blessing, not simply in word, but in deed, by living out this way. And so if you want to grow in this rhythm, try asking that question. When you feel that frustration come, just say, how can I serve this person? And just see what creative inspiration arises, and then walk in that way. If you really want to grow, try serving in hiddenness. Secretly serve someone. If you're like me and you do that, you'll see just how deep in your bones you want recognition or credit for the things that you do. You'll get on a random elevator with a stranger and you'll feel this urge to say, today I returned someone's grocery cart anonymously, right? And they just slowly put their earbuds in and spear them. But hidden service, when we do it, it sends ripples of joy through the community. It's like graces, like love's grace-filled cascarones, confetti eggs, these unexpected bursts of joy in life that stay with you and stay in your hair all day long. There's our daughter, Grace, serving Lindsay in love. Just look at the joy that that brings to everyone involved. Hidden service is like these grace-filled confetti eggs that we can sprinkle in the world as we go. When you grow in the rhythm of service, you'll begin to see everything as a chance to take that posture of service. You can serve through common courtesy, through active helpfulness, through listening, through bearing burdens of friends in hard times, through offering encouragement and affirmation. You can serve through confetti eggs as you go. All of these are ways to join the parade of the upside-down servant king. The world's rhythm is loud and insistent. Look out for yourself. Secure your interests. Get ahead. Get what's yours. But the rhythm of service says, be last. Look out for others. Secure others' interests. Lift others up, because the way of God that lifts us all together. And so what if we moved to this rhythm? What would our workplaces, our families, our church, our communities, our world look like if we stopped asking what's in it for me and instead asked, what can I do to serve? In our world today, I know many of us look at the world and we wonder what it is that we can do. It seems that power is winning with no checks and balances in sight, The news cycle feels like the worst binge watch ever. Just keeps coming, and you can't find the remote, and Netflix canceled the show about kindness and puppies, and you don't know what to do. How do we respond as followers of the way of Jesus? Do we retreat to our bubbles? Do we meet force with force? Do we just throw up our hands and at least try to win Wordle this week? Jesus calls us to a different way, to a better way. Not fight or flight, but nonviolent, creative, constructive engagement. Showing up in love, in solidarity, in servanthood, in the upside down way of the Palm Sunday King. And it's not just because it's morally superior, but because it is the way that truly brings life for others and for ourselves. And this is the paradox at the heart of Holy Week. Palm Sunday's triumph leads through Good Friday's darkness. But it doesn't stop there. Easter shows us that when things seem hardest, when the parade seems finished, when the stones seem immovable, that God isn't finished yet. And so in these challenging times, we are called anew to trust and to walk in the way of love that rolls away stones. We're called to be servants who keep showing up, who keep loving, who keep standing and marching with the vulnerable, even when wrong seems oft so strong, because the way of love, the way of the servant, is the way that rolls away stones. And it's the way that God is using to change the world. So come to this world, show up to this life, just as Jesus did. He came humble, not proud, ready to listen, not coerce, in community, not self-interest, empowering those around him, not commanding them, unafraid to do what is right, unarmed, in love, not seeking to win, but to serve and to love neighbors first, and to trust the God who is love and the love that wins. A couple of years ago at the University of North Texas, I got to witness the table-turning power of the way of service. Every year, this group of street preachers descend on campus with bullhorns and harsh signs, and they parade through campus in power. But each year also, folks who follow in the way of Jesus have started showing up to turn the parade on its head. And they show up with humor and humility and care and kindness, and they don't fight back, they love back. Students from the Wesley Campus Ministry, where Pastor Jenny also serves, sibling to our Synergy Wesley Ministry at UTD, show up with better signs and better music. They even have a saxophone that comes to play SpongeBob SquarePants theme, UNT fight song, and Jesus Loves Me also. So John Nag, stay ready out there. We're going to call on you. But most of all, they come embodying the things that make for peace. Humility, community, empowerment, courage, vulnerability, and love. So one student, Hannah Phillips Mullenkamp, showed up with this sign that simply read, if your Christianity doesn't come from love, it doesn't come from Christ. And she showed up with enough cupcakes for everyone, including the street preachers too, flipping the script with some sprinkles on top. And Hannah reflected on the experience. She wrote, in the face of blind hate, we students responded with mindful, uplifting love. Love that didn't look like abuse or coercion. Love that looked truly like the love of God. That's the parade we're called to join. And we don't face those situations every day. But every day, we make choices. We plant seeds. We choose the kingdom we are building. We choose which parade we will join in this life. And when we choose God's way, the way of service, the way of love, the way of Palm Sunday, the spirit of love is right there with us in the humble power of the God leading the way. It's the way of love. It's the way of community. It's the way of saxophones and cupcakes too. And I don't pretend it will be easy. The coming days of Holy Week show us just how difficult the way of love can be. The powers of this world aren't fans of upside-down kingdoms. They prefer their hierarchies right side up, thank you very much. But Easter is coming. And Easter teaches us that stones meant to seal hope away can become stepping stones to new life and the power of the God who is turning the world round right. When the powers of the world are on parade, may we remember the humble power of the Savior on the donkey. May we too embody the things that make for peace: humility, community, courage, vulnerability, love, and join the great peace march of the one who came humble, who washed our feet, and who showed us the way of God's upside down kingdom. The way to true life is the way of service and love. Arapaho, friends, may we go into the world to be part of this great parade, to be people of love's great way together. In the name of the God who is with us and the Christ who shows us the way of love, amen.